I welcome all of you to Thursday English Dhamma discussion. Actually, till Bhante Dhammajiva returns, we are conducting English Dhamma discussion on Thursday morning from 7:30 to 8:30. And basically, these days we are discussing what we call Parayana Magga. It's a very, very interesting area. And now we already arrived some area like what's that called? Kuttaka Nikaya Sutta Nipata. This is available in the Sutta Nipata, Parayana Magga. It's a fairly profound area where the practice is fairly mentioned in a more concise way. And we already discussed several suttas: Ajita Sutta, Tissametteya Sutta, Punnaka Sutta, Mettagu Sutta, and Dotaka Sutta. We already discussed. And next sutta available is called Upasiva Sutta. So that is what we have to discuss. Correct? Yeah. We had only little few things last time. I mean, the last two verses we completed. Yeah. And then we can go ahead with Upasiva Sutta. Anyway, just to give a briefing. So these are all Brahmin youths. So they are themselves teachers. Actually, their main teacher is called Bhavari. So Bhavari is a very well-known teacher, 120 years old, and then he was a teacher for many students, and these 16 students are the main students under him who have gone through the learning part. And one time actually he met with the issue where another Brahmin who came and made a curse, telling that if he is not giving him money, basically this Bhavari's head going to split for 7 pieces. So this fellow is quite afraid of that. And by the way, he don't have any solution for that. So while he was going through such a confusion, then one of the deities came forward, and she or he has mentioned, okay, there is a Buddha already available, risen in the world, so you better go and ask him. So this fellow, this particular Brahmin, don't know what is the head, what is how the head going to be split. He doesn't know anything. He's just a cunning person. You better ask questions from the Buddha, then he will explain you what is the head and what is the splitting of the head. So it's a kind of a synonym given. Head is actually the avijja, the ignorance. The splitting of the head is the, we can say, the Dhamma or the Noble Eightfold Path, how we are going to sort of remove avijja. Anyway, now Bhavari himself can't approach the Buddha since he is very old. And then what happened is he is asking from his students, 16 students who reach the Buddha and go there in search of him, and then ask various questions. Whatever the questions they have and what are the questions when this Bhavari has, and so that they'll get the answers from the Buddha. And then interestingly they ask, how are we going to recognize the Buddha? Because there are many people who are telling, I am the Buddha, I am the Buddha, I am an Arahant, I am an Arahant. So they want to know exactly who is the proper Buddha. And then Venerable Bhavari explain what are the characteristics, the physical characteristics, the signs, marks available in the Buddha. And then they learn that those are recorded in their Veda scriptures. And according to that, he is explaining, okay, these are the marks available in the Buddha. So you better see him, you better check them, verify all these marks are there. And accordingly, they all approached the Buddha and they verified everything. Yes, he is the true Buddha. They have arrived the Buddha. And now they start asking questions through the mind. And Buddha is reading the mind of those Brahmins, and he is answering the questions using the words. So everyone can hear. But no one, only the person who is asking the questions know exactly what is the question. Probably don't know whether Buddha repeated the question as well for the benefit of the others. Anyway, point is that he is reading the mind of that particular Brahmin who is asking the question, and then he is explaining the answer to the whole audience. And now we have come to the Upasiva Sutta. So this is the Upasiva Manava. Manavaka is the another student of Bhavari, and he is now asking questions, and it starts like this. Eko ahan sakka mahantamoghaṁ anisito no vihasāmi තාරිතුන් ආරම්මනම් බ්‍රෝහි සමන්ත චක්කු යන් නිස්සිතෝ ඕගමිමං තරීයන් ඒකෝ අහං සක්ක මහන්ත මෝගං අනිස්සිතෝ නෝ විහසාමි තාරිතුන් ආරම්මනම් බ්‍රෝහි සමන්ත චක්කු යං නිස්සිතෝ ඕගමිමං තරීයන් So I'll we'll go through the translations first, the English translation, next the Sinhala translations, and we'll have a discussion later. Yeah, I invite Venerable Dhamma Vijitha to conduct the English translation, read the English translation, and Venerable Dhamma Alankara to read the Sinhala translation.
Yes, this is the Bhikkhu Bodhi translation, and it's on page 334 of the Sutta Nipata, verse. 1069, the questions of Upasiva. Alone, Sakya, unsupported, I am not able to cross over the great flood. Declare to me a basis, O universal eye, supported by which I might cross over this flood.
Can you repeat, please?
Alone, Sakya, unsupported, I am not able to cross over the great flood. Declare to me a basis, O universal eye, supported by which I might cross over this flood.
Ayushmat Upasiva mese asi, Shakya Munindrayan vahansa, ekalavu mama kisi puguleku ho dahamak ko asuru nokelem, kamadi mahat ogatarane karannata nohekivemi, samatas ati sarvanyan vahansa, yam kisi dahamak ko puguleku ඇසුළු කෙලෙම් කලෙම් මේ කෙලෙස් වතුරු තරණය කෙලෙම් නම් ඒ නිස්රය වදාරණ සේක්වා.
So basically he is referring that he has never associated a person who is capable of telling him, teaching him to cross to the other side, crossing the floods. So floods refers the mainly the defilements. Four categories of floods are mentioned. කාමෝග බවෝග දිට්ඨියෝහ Nityoga, Avijyaoga. So these are Ogha. The term Ogha is referring for the floods. And different kinds of, different categories of floods are mentioned. So those are the floods happening in our minds. So constantly our minds are subjected to different defilements. And those are categorized into four streams like the Ogha, like different kinds of floods. Kama Ogha. So the different sensual desires are arising, overwhelming the mind and completely flooded the mind with the sensual desires. Kamog, bhavog, maybe about the different existence or different desires, expecting certain different states. So I want to become this, I want to become that, I want to be with him, I want to be with her, I want to be with that. So very much like that becoming process is another area, constantly sort of motivating the mind, constantly agitating the mind. So that is another type of flood going through in the mind, and that is also there. Kamoga, bhavoga, dityoga. Dityoga is where we come to wrong conclusions, wrong views, and that is also overwhelming the mind. Ultimately our mind is stuck in such a wrong view, and that is also another flood possible to overwhelm someone's mind. The last one is called avijjaoga, the ignorance. So we don't know really the truth. So as a result of that, what happened is that we come to wrong conclusions, wrong understandings, and ultimately we end up with wrong views. And this actually avijjaoga and dittyoga, sometimes they consider as similar. I mean, they can put things together, considering as one flood, or sometimes explain as two categories, dittyoga and avijjaoga. So the avijjaoga basically is where all different kinds of wrong understandings, misunderstandings, not being able to understand, complete ignorance. So all that comes under the ignorance. So that is the another oga available in the mind. So these are the four floods constantly flooding through one's mind. And now this venerable upasiva is asking, Bante tell me how to cross over to these floods? Ogamiman tareyang. So tareyang means to cross over. How am I going to cross over the floods? And whom am I going to associate? What is the practice that I need to associate in order to do this? Currently I have no any such a reference, any kind of an association, any kind of a good companion. I don't have. Please can you explain me what is the association that I need to continue so that I am able to cross over to the other shore? So then we'll go to the next verse. Akinchanyang pekkamanu satima natthiti nissaya tarassu ogham kame pahaya virato kathahi tanhakkayang natta mahabi passa. Tanhakkayang natta mahabipassa, some other books say ratta mahabipassa or natta mahabipassa, both are explained here. Akin chanyang pekkamano satima natthiti nissaya tarassu ogham kame pahaya virato katahi tanhakkayang natta mahabipassa. So we'll go for the translations.
Contemplating nothingness, mindful, supported by, quote, there is not, unquote, cross over the flood, having abandoned sensual pleasures, refraining from perplexity. Night and day, see into the destruction of craving.
Night and day?
Yes.
Can you repeat that part?
Having abandoned sensual pleasures, refraining from perplexity. Night and day, see into the destruction of craving.
භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ මෙසේ වදාළසේක. උපසීවය සිහි ඇතියෙහි ආකින්චඤ්ඤායතන සමාපත්තිය අනිත්‍යාදී විසින් දක්මින් නත්තිකිංචි පැවති ඒ සමවත ඇසුරුකොට මේ චතුරෝගය තරණය කර වස්තුකාම ක්ලේශකාමයන් හැරපියා කතංකතා සංඛ්‍යාත විචිකිත්සායෙන් වෙන් වූයෙහි දවරෙහි Krishnakshaya Sankhyata Nivana Vibhudakota Daknehi.
So Buddha starts directly from a very high level. So you can see it is not that he starts with Dana Kata, Sila Kata, Sagga Kata. So like that, this is not a kind of a, you know, step by step process that he is referring. Rather, immediately he talks about the Akinchanyayatana. So here we can imagine that this Upasiva may be familiar with that, because they are all ones with the abhinya, and they are in the, you know, ascetic life for a long time, and they are the teachers themselves, and again actually they're coming from the lineage of the Bhavari. So likewise, so these people are not the typical worldlings in a way that the typical householders, so they themselves are quite capable. And Buddha immediately referring him to the Akinchanyayatana. So Akinchanyayatana is not the first jhana, it is actually the arupa jhana. There are four arupa jhanas, you know, right? The first jhana, second, third, fourth, they are the material jhana, rupa jhana. And then we are talking about the akasananchayatana, the fifth one, called infinite space. Then we are talking vinyananchayatana, infinite consciousness. Then the seventh one is called the akinchanyayatana, the nothingness. The eighth one is called nevasanyanasanyayatana, neither perception nor non-perception. So that is the last one. Now, Buddha talks about the seventh one, Akinchanyayatana. So, actually, this is not the first time where he is referring this. So, I found it available in the Pottapada Sutta also. If you are a little familiar with Pottapada Sutta. So, in the Pottapada Sutta also, Buddha step by step explaining how one is abandoning some gross perceptions and achieving a subtle perception. So that's another interesting area. So actually Pottapada is asking, Pottapada Sutta, are you familiar? No? So it's available in the Digha Nikaya. It's available in Digha Nikaya. So there's a long discussion how Pottapada is arriving at the Buddha, and he's asking what is the process of abandoning perceptions, sanya. Sanya Nirodha, how one is going to cease the perceptions. And basically Buddha's advice is, so you are going through certain practice. So through the practice, what you are going to do is actually abandoning some gross perception and arriving some subtle perception. Say for example, you want to abandon gross perceptions about the hindrances, about the whole sensual world. You have various sense-related sensual desire-related perceptions. Say you are thinking about your wife, your husband, your children, your house, your car, money, say carnivals, this and all are sense desire-related perceptions. You need to abandon that. Say then you have various perceptions related to the anger, ill will. that has also has to be abandoned. Maybe about the vichikicca, the doubts, that also has to be abandoned. So basically the hindrance related, say, harmful perceptions are to be abandoned. So how are we going to abandon it? Maybe using a jhana. Say you are arriving in the first jhana by abandoning all that, harmful, very gross kind of marks, signs, perceptions. Now you have arrived at that. Now suppose while being in the first jhana, now you may find out certain disadvantages, dangers in the first jhana. But you want to come to the second jhana. You want to reach the second jhana. Because second jhana is more subtler, much better than the first jhana. So that is the perception you are now thinking of. Now you are abandoned in the first jhana, arrive in the second jhana. You achieve the second jhana. Now you are dwelling in the second jhana. While being there, what are you going to do? So you now understand the dangers, disadvantages of the second jhana, and you are desiring to arrive the third jhana. Now you arrive the third jhana, abandoned in the second. While being in the third, you are knowing about the dangers, disadvantages of the third. You want to come to fourth. So now you abandon the third jhana and you arrive the fourth jhana. While in the fourth, you understand what are the disadvantages, dangers in the fourth jhana. All are rupa, the material jhana. Now you are thinking of immaterial jhana. All the, you know, the friction of the matter have to be abandoned. So you are in the vastness of this arupa jhana. So now you are arriving the akasananchayatana, the infinite space. So your mind become completely open, very wide, no boundary. So the complete awareness about the infinite space. One arrives the infinite space, akasananchayatana. Now while being there, you are referring what are the disadvantages of the akasananchayatana, and now you want to come to the next one. Vijnananchayatana, infinite consciousness. Now you achieve that. So you abandon the akasananchayatana, the infinite space, and you achieve the infinite consciousness. While being there, you understand the disadvantages, repercussions, maybe say dangers of the infinite consciousness, and now you are desiring to achieve nothingness, akinchanyayatana. Now you achieve akinchanyayatana. Now Buddha makes, that's very interesting, I mean this is a fairly advanced area, where now Buddha says, let me explain that part, so in the, I am going to read what is available in the Pottapada Sutta. So here Buddha mentioned, Punachaparang Pottapada Bhikkhu Sabbaso Akasananchayatanam Samatikkamma Anantang vinyananti vinyananchayatanang upasampajya viharati. Tassa ya purima akasananchayatana sukuma satcha sanya sa nirujyati vinyananchayatana sukuma satcha sanya sasmin same hoti. So similarly he is going on, and the Punichaparayam Pottapada Bhikkhu sabbaso vinyananchayatanang samatikkam nattikinchichi akinchayatanang upasampajya viharati. Tassa ya purima vinyananchayatana sukuma satcha sanya sa nirujyati akinchayatana sukuma satcha sanya tasmin same hoti. So likewise he is telling step by step how searching much and much higher jhanic states, abandoning the lower ones. Now he has come to a certain point. So this akinchanyayatana has become that particular decisive point. Now he has come to a conclusion. Yatoko pottapada bhikkhu idha sakasanyi hoti. So tato amutra anupubbena sanyaggam pusati. Tassa sanyagge ti tassa evang hoti. Now he have arrived certain end point of the sanya, end point of the perception, and while being there, now he contemplates. Chete manasame papiyo, achete manasame seyo. So this intentionally arriving something, intentionally doing something is a lower thing, kind of a mean task. Papiyo. Achete manasame seyo. If I am going to abandon all the chetana, all the volitions, all the activities, so that would be a much better. Seyo. Ahancheva kopana cheteyang abhisankareyang imachame sanya nirujjayyum anyacha olatika sanya upajayyum. So far what has happened is that I was desiring some subtle, much better sanya, another perception. So I abandon some lower perception, gross perception, and I'm always arriving, becoming another new perception. So this is what so far I have followed. This is not going to work. So this is the kind of a decision he is now taking. Yannunaha nacheva cheteyang na chabi sankariyanta. Let me stop all the volitional activities. Let me stop all the ambitions. Let me stop all the desires. Abandon all the desires. Yannunaham na cheva cheteyang na chabi sankareya. Let me stop all the volitional activities. I am now going to stop all the thoughts, maybe all thinking, all kind of thinking. So na cheva cheteti na chabi sankaroti. So now Buddha says, okay, now this yogi, this monk who is now practicing, he stop all thoughts, he stop all volitional activities, and he has no future desires. Okay, I need to achieve this, I need to achieve that. He has no such thing, and he let go of the present state as well. Tassa acheteto anabisankaroto ta cheva sanya niruddhanti anya cholalika sanya na uppajjanti. Now he has already achieved some sort of perception. Now he abandoned that perception, but he is not desiring a new perception. Okay, he is abandoning the present perception, but not thinking, desiring, becoming a new perception. So what is going to happen? Any guess? So now Buddha mentioned, tassa acheteto anabisankharoto tateva sanya niruddhanti anya cholaadika sanya na uppajjanti so nirodham pusati. So nirodham pusati, he touches the cessation. That is the point, he touches the cessation. So basically his mind basically now touches the cessation. So far he's continuously, you know, geared by, motivated by various perceptions, going on and on and on, never stopped. But now he come to a concluding decision. Okay, I'm not going to further do this. I'm going to abandon all the perceptions. I'm not desiring a new perception. Let me stop. Now he stop. The Nirodham Pusati. So the Nirodha is the state where now no further perceptions are there or new thoughts are there. Whatever was available, it has completely ceased. Now you are dwelling in that Nirodha, dwelling in that cessation. So there Buddha mentioned, so this is how Pottapada, you are coming to the sanya nirodha sampajana samapatti. So the available perception completely abandoned, so you are touching the cessation. So this is how you achieve it. So you explain, Buddha explained this. And then very interestingly, Pottapada asked another question. Bhante, are you telling only one sanyagga or are you talking of multiple sanyagga? Sanyagga means that decisive moments, decisive places. Are you talking of only one? So what is the one referred here? The Akinchanyayatana. While once he arrived the Akinchanyayatana, nothingness, only he took the decision. So the Pottapada is asking a very critical question. Bhante, are you talking only one such decisive moments, or are there many such things? So then Buddha mentioned there are many such decisive moments. And there he mentioned, yatha yatha ko pottapada nirodham pusati tata tata hang sanyangam panyapebi. Wherever you come to that decision, okay, I am not going to make new volitional activities, I am not going to make further perceptions, I am not going to create new, say, desires, I am going to abandon the existing one, and without desiring that new one, he is going to touch the cessation. So each and every such points are called sanyagga, the end points of the perceptions. Can you all understand what I have mentioned?
If at any point I could say no more perceptions, mm-hmm. I'm not going to search for any further perceptions. If I were to give up perceptions at any point, then that would be touching cessation.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Can you repeat it again?
So at any point, if I'm aware that I'm coming to perceptions, I'm creating perceptions by seeing, like, say I see this and I think purple thermos, you know. So that's a perception. If I were to just stop and say, I'm not going to perceive of this any further, just seeing is seeing and hearing is hearing. So without even having, I could give up perceptions at any point.
Exactly. So that is how actually we are achieving it in the Vipassana. If I am referring you the Samatha practice, say while you are in the first jhana, say for example you are here, while you are in the first jhana, you can come to that decision. Okay, I don't want the second jhana. I don't want to achieve the second jhana. I simply want to even abandon the first jhana related perceptions. I am not going to attach to the first jhana related perceptions. I am not going to further dwell there. I want to simply let it go. Calm down, relax. And I am not desiring the second either. So the first itself can become that entry point. Say someone is being in the third. While being in third, he is coming to this decision. Okay, I don't want to achieve the fourth. I don't want to jump to fourth. I have no desire to that. And even the perception related to the third, I am going to abandon. Now the third jhana becomes that decisive moment. Decisive point. So likewise, Buddha mentioned any of these moments, points, can become a sanyanga, the end point of the perceptions. So in the Vipassana also, one may be doing that. Say you are practicing Satipatthana and you are doing, say, observing various phenomena. You see the rising and passing away of all these different phenomena. And once you let go of that, assume that your mind come to a state where no grasping is available. So while being there, you can come to this decision. Okay, I don't want to become someone else now. I don't want to have further desires. I don't want to do anything else. Let me just be there. Just be. Come to a decision. Okay, I let go of all the different perceptions, thoughts, abandon all that, and I'm not going to make any new things. You may touch the Nirodha, as you just mentioned. So this is the perception I had. Now I'm going to let it go, and I don't need anything else. So complete emptiness, nothingness. So therefore, this nothingness is one entry point. So as mentioned even in the Puttapada Sutta and even this Upasiva Manava Puccha, so Buddha immediately referring that point. Maybe that is an easy point because mind has achieved almost nothing. As a perception, it has the nothingness, the perception, but even that now we are going to abandon. So maybe Upasiva is capable of understanding what Buddha is talking because he's an intelligent person. And maybe he already achieved nothingness because these jhanas are already available in the Buddha's time. So Upasiva may be, you know, familiar with the nothingness. Now Buddha is giving the meditative instructions, inside practice, using nothingness. Not talking the previous ones, but using the nothingness. Now he is telling, okay, you got to abandon nothingness. You, by the way, don't come to a new state. You slowly allow the nothingness, that whatever the perceptions available there, also fade away. So likewise, Buddha's advice here to Upasiva is immediately referring the Akinchanyayatana. So it has a certain depth. Akinchanyang pekkamano satima nathiti nissaya tarasuogam. Now you dwell in the Akinchanyayatana, the nothingness, and you be mindful there. And now you slowly abandon everything else because nothing is available. Nathiti. So that means, so he's talking about, say, netammama nesohamasimi nameso attati. That's something that there is no person, there is no I, there is no me, myself. So you are abandoning that. All that I making, mind making, so you are abandoning. And you are not promoting any desires either. So that cessation part now you are implementing while being there. Kame pahaya virato katahi. So you are abandoning all the desires with respect to the sense objects. Kame pahaya, the sensual desires you are abandoning. And virato katahi, so you are abandoning all the perplexities, all the doubts also you are abandoning. Tanhakkhayang natta mahabipassa. Now you are abandoning all the desires. Tanhakkhaya, the You allow the tanha, the craving, to slowly fade away. So that very moment, or the decisive area, is the Akinchanyayatana. So Buddha is referring that as the working area for you. Okay, you do that. So basically, he's giving the inside practice instructions. So this is a little deep stuff, by the way. Hope somehow you can digest it. Yeah. Anyone has questions? So we'll proceed and we'll see how the whole thing end up with. And then the next verse, then Upasiva is asking from the Buddha, Sabbesu kamesu yo vitarago akin chanyang nisito hitva hitva yanyang sanya vimokhe parame vimutto tittenu so tatta ananu yai. Now he's mentioning Sabbesu kamesu yo vitarago akin chanyang nisito hitva yanyang sanya vimokhe parame vimutto tittenu so tatta ananu yai. So we'll listen to the translations.
One devoid of lust for all sensual pleasures, supported by nothingness, having discarded all else, liberated in the supreme emancipation of perception, would he stay there without departing?
Please repeat.
One devoid of lust for all sensual pleasures, supported by nothingness, having discarded all else, liberated in the supreme emancipation of perception. So, liberated in the supreme emancipation of perception. Would he stay there without departing?
Upasiva Aishmat Meseyasi Yamek Sielu Kamehani Pahau Ragate Anniu Yata Samavat Harapiha Akinchan Nyayatana Samapatya Asurukele Uttama Sanya Vimokshehi Alunenam He E Akinchan Nyayatana Bambalohi Vyogayata Noena Suluva Sitineda.
Now Upasiva is asking the question, Sabbesu Kamesu Yo Vitarago. So assume that someone is going to abandon all the sensual desires. He has no lust for that. Akinchanyang nisito hitva yanyang. That means, so while being in the akinchanyayatana, while being in the nothingness, so you are abandoning all the other associations. So your mind become completely unassociated. Sanya vimokhe, parame vimutto. So all the perceptions are given up. Sanya vimokhe. So no perceptions at all. All the perceptions are given up. And tittenu so tat ananu yai. So while being there, you pass away, and so he's not sort of downfall from there, but you are very much like you are going to be reborn in that particular state, in the akinchanyayatana, that whatever the higher state in the Brahma realm. So you are going to have a new birth there because you were practicing that. So something like that he's asking. So let me little explain this. So if you consider, suppose that I am going to show this again and again to all of you. Say this as a color. Assume that this is a red color. Again red color, again red color, again red color, red color, red color, red color. What's happening to your mind? What do you think? So your mind slowly become reddish in the sense. So slowly this color starts giving certain influence to the mind. So the mind becomes somewhat conditioned to this color. Okay, so this is how the perceptions work. So we have various perceptions about a person. We have a perception. So he's like this. He's a good person. I have a perception like this. He's a bad person. Okay, I have a perception like that. So like various perceptions are there. So all these perceptions are in a way making the mind little conditioned, little colored, little, you know, conditioning process going on. Now, if that conditioning process, or when such conditioning has happened, is the mind completely open, relaxed, calm, tranquil, and unattached, or is it, you know, somewhat colored, conditioned, burdened? What do you think? Colored, maybe somewhat burdened. So it is not the original nature of the mind. Assume that the original nature of the mind is complete lucidity, complete transparency. Nothing is there. complete openness. So no impediments, no defilements, completely pure. So that complete purity is no more there now. It's fairly conditioned. So that means whatever the perceptions we have in our mind have to be abandoned in order for the mind to be liberated. So those perceptions are impermanent, so you are abandoning that. So basically it is then only it can become more pure. About a person, about a language, about a situation. So if our minds are again and again associating any of these sanya, any of these say mundane type of sanya, so mind get crowded. Now say you are thinking about the politics, you are thinking about the sports, you are thinking about sex, you are thinking about something other, business. So all are different perceptions, different signs, marks, you know, currency rates, maybe say images of the say certain other sex parts, and maybe another fights and excitement. So all the mind is fully crowded with all these signs, marks, you know, images. Mind is fully crowded. Now if you want to achieve the liberation, maybe kind of a calmness, so you have to wash it all up, all right? So you have to abandon all, let go of all, then only your mind become more clean, more clear, isn't it? Then only it become more lighter. So likewise, so our minds are fully corrupted with all these signs. So we are coming with different cultures, so we are learning different languages, we are learning different, you know, other this than that, many many things are there, different 1001 subjects are there, so we are learning them in the university, so our minds are filled with all this, isn't it? That such a mind is not a, you know, empty mind. Such a mind is not a pure mind. It's a fully conditioned mind, corrupted mind, polluted mind. So in order for us to achieve the clarity, say the purity, so all that has to be washed away, abandoned. So therefore here, that term, sanya vimokhe. So you mean all that perceptions, all that sanya, all that marks, all that signs, images, everything gone away, everything taken out. So your mind has complete clarity, luminosity. And paramedhimutto, so, and your target is that, let me keep the mind completely pure, utter simple, very tranquil, almost transparent, like pure water. Something like that. Titteya, so tatha ananya. And let me be there even during the death. So without any downfall, so he is going to achieve it. Now, this Upasiva is asking this question. Sabbe sukamesu yo vitarago akinchanyang nisito hitva manyang. So while being in the akinchanyatana, while being in nothingness, now I am going to abandon all these, whatever the perceptions, whatever the thoughts, whatever the proliferations going to happen in my mind, I am going to abandon that. Sanya imukke parame dhimutto, so I am dropping all the signs, marks, perceptions, so the mind, which are the ones actually crowding the mind, corrupting the mind, I am going to drop all that. And while doing that practice, I am not going to downfall, I am progressing. Can you repeat the translation again? Upasiva's question.
One devoid of lust for all sensual pleasures, supported by nothingness, having discarded all else, liberated in the supreme emancipation of perception, would he stay there without departing?
Now he's asking, would he stay there without departing? Will this person be able to stay there without any downfall? Now Buddha is telling the answer. Titte ve so tatta ananuyayi yugampi vassanang samanta chakku. Tatteva so sitisya vimutto chaveta vinyanang tatha vidhassi. Now these are, I mean, extremely deep parts here he's asking. Buddha is also explaining. Titte ve so tatta ananuyayi yugampi vassanang samanta chakku. Tateva so siti siya vimutto chaveta vinyanang tatha vidassi. So we'll listen to the translations.
One devoid of all.
Sorry. I made a mistake. Sabbesu kamesu yo vitarago akinchanyang nisito hitta manyang. සංඥා විමුක්ඛේ පරමේ දිමුත්තෝ තිට්ඨේයසෝ තත්ත අනානුයයි. Now Buddha directly answered the question from Upasīva. Sabbe sukāmesu yo vitarāgo ākiñcaññaṃ nissito hitva maññaṃ sanyā imokkhe parame dimutto titteyaso tatta anānuyāyi. So the question Buddha says yes, he can stay there like that. So please make the translation.
One devoid of lust for all sensual pleasures, supported by nothingness, having discarded all else, liberated in the supreme emancipation of perception, would he stare? Okay, that was the one before. So this is the next one. If he would stay there without departing even for a multitude of years.
No. The Buddha's answer is
that was it. Okay.
Exactly the same words are there. Yeah, that's why I also made the mistake.
Yes, that's it. So he says the same thing.
Same thing, yes.
One devoid of lust for all sensual pleasures, supported by nothingness, having discarded all else, liberated in the supreme emancipation of perception, would stay there without departing. He would stay there.
Yeah, he would stay there.
Yes.
So Buddha confirms that yes, he's going to stay there. He's not going to any downfall. He's practicing. So he's going to stay there. Yes.
භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ මෙසේ වදාළ උපසීවය යමෙක් හැම කාමයන්හි වීතරාග වූයේ අන්‍ය වූ යට සමවත් හැරපියා ආකින්චන් ඥායතන සමාපත්තිය ඇසුරු කළේ ඒ උත්තම සංඥා විමෝක්ෂයෙහි ඇලුනේ නම් හෙතෙම එයින් නොපිරිහෙමින් ඒ ආකින්චන් ඥායතන බ්‍රහ්ම ලෝකයෙහි කප්සට දහසක් සිටුනේයි.
So basically he's going to stay in that Akinchanyayatana. So he has arrived that whatever the Jhanic state, so that Jhana realm, so he is going to stay there. Now Upasi is asking another question. Titte veso tatta ananuyayi yugampi vassanam samanta chakku tatheva so sitisya vimutto chaveta vinyanam tatha vidassi. So we'll go for the translations.
If he would stay there without departing, even for a multitude of years, O universal eye, would he become cool, liberated right here? Or would the consciousness of such a one pass away?
Sorry, can you repeat again?
If he would stay there without departing, even for a multitude of years, O universal eye, would he become cool, liberated right there?
Right there, not here, right there.
Right there.
Right there, right.
Would the consciousness of such a one pass away?
Pass away. So now the question is, we'll go for the single translation as well.
Aishmat upasiva mese vicharai. Samatas ati sarvanyan vahansa. Indin he ein nopirihena suluve noik haurudu siyadahas ganan e akinchan nyayatanehi sitinenam hetema ehime dukin midune shiti bhaveyata paminiye ehi me sitineda ebadu u ohuge vinyanaya ehima pirinivedha.
Now he's asking, now once he arrive nothingness akinchan nyayatane, is he going to become an arahandya? The other way he's asking. So basically he is there, now he is doing the practice, he is abandoned all the other perceptions, all the thoughts he is abandoning, he is dwelling in the nothingness. Now he may be staying there for long, long time. So ultimately what's going to happen? Is he going to cool down? Siti, the Nibbana, he is going to achieve the Nibbana, so that his mind completely liberated, Siya Vimutto, and Chaveta Vinyanam, Tatha Vidassi. So his consciousness completely ceases while being there. Achieve the Arahant, he finish. Basically, he's going to do that. Now Buddha is answering like this. Achi atha vata vegena kitta atthang jaleti na upeti sankhang. Evang muni nama kaya vimutto attham paleti na upeti sankhang. Achi atha vata vegena kitta atthang jaleti na upeti sankhang. Evang muni nama kaya vimutto attham paleti na upeti sankhang. We'll listen to the translations.
As a flame thrown by a gust of wind goes out and cannot be designated, so the Muni, liberated from the mental body, goes out and cannot be designated. I'll read it again. As a flame thrown by a gust of wind goes out and cannot be designated, so the Muni, liberated from the mental body, goes out and cannot be designated.
භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ මෙසේ වදාළහ. උපසීවය වාතවේගෙන් බැහැර කරන නිවන ලද ගිනිසිලෙක් යම්සේ අස්තයට ඒ නම් අසෝ දිගට ගියේ යැයි ව්‍යවහාරයට නොයේ නම් එසේ ඉන්ම එහි උපන් ශක්ෂ මුනි තෙම නාමකයින් මිදුනේ අස්තයට එයි. ශස්ත්‍රියාදී ව්‍යවහාරයට නොයේ.
So basically Buddha confirms, yes, he is going to achieve the Nibbana. So basically he is giving an example, a kind of a simile, where say there is a flame, there is a fire. Now fire is burning. How fire is burning? So you have to apply oxygen, you have to supply the wood, fuel, you need to supply the fuel. And you need to have the flame. So all these things are, all the conditions are there. Now the burning is going on. Now suppose there's a wind coming and it blows it away. So where this flame gone? To which direction? Has it gone to the east direction? Has it gone to the west direction? Has it gone to the south direction? Has it gone to the north direction? Can we say like that? You can't tell like that. I mean, the flame has gone. It has simply extinguished. Ginna niuna, isn't it? So the ginna niuna. So the flame extinguished, the fire extinguished. We can't say the flame has gone to this particular direction. It is not appropriate to tell like that. So either it couldn't stay there because maybe we haven't supplied the fuel. So that's another phenomena. Say we take out all the fuel away. Ultimately, without having enough fuel, it extinguished. So where the flame has gone, that question is not a valid question, isn't it? So there is no enough fuel. So as a result of not having enough fuel, it completely extinguished. So how it was continuing? Because we were supplying fuel. Now similarly, the consciousness is going on because we are supplying fuel. But once we stop supplying fuel, it simply extinguishes. Simply disappear, simply cease because no fuel available. And if someone is telling, okay, after passing away of that arahant, he has gone to that direction, this direction, invalid. So you can't refer like that because he's no more existing anyway. Even before he passed away, there is no person who was existing. It's simply the manifestation of the five aggregates. But we feel like there was a person. That's a perception, wrong perception in a way. And anyway, after passing away also, there is no such thing, no person existing in any direction. It simply has ceased. So basically that's the answer Buddha is giving to the upasiva. Actually, this same question asked, some similar question asked by Aggivacchagotta. Probably you have heard about it, Aggivacchagotta. There's a Vacca. There's another Brahmin. He was used to do this fire rituals, Gini Puja, fire rituals. And he's also asking the same question. So, and Buddha gave him the same simile, where when a particular fire extinguishes, you can't say whether it is going to any particular direction. Without having fuel, it extinguishes. That's all you can say. Something like that. And then Upasiva is asking another question. Attangatoso udaya udavaso natthi udahu ve sassatiya arogo. Tamme muni sadhu vyakarohi tatahite vidito esa dhammo. Now Upasiva is still with the perception of a self. You know, in the old tradition or even today, so people think there is a self, there is an atma. Now Buddha is talking about anatma. Buddha is talking there is no particular self. Now Upasiva is still coming back to the self view by this question. He's asking, attangatoso udavaso natthi udahuve sassatiya arogo tangme muni sadhu vyakarohi තතාහි තේ විදිතෝ ඒස දම්මු will get the translations.
But does one who has gone out not exist, or else is he intact through eternity? Explain this matter clearly to me, O Muni, for this Dhamma has been understood by you.
No, he is still thinking of a person. What is going to happen to that person?
Aishmat upasiva mese asiya Munindrayan vahansa ඒ අරූපී ආර්ය පුද්ගල අස්තයට ගියේ නොහොත් අවිද්‍යමාන වූයේද නොහොත් හේ ඒකාන්තයෙන් ශාශ්වත භාවයෙන් අරෝග වූයේ අවිපරිත නාම ස්වභාවයෙන් සිටිනේද මුනීන්ද්‍රයන් වහන්ස එය මට මැනවින් ප්‍රකාශ කොට වදාළ මැනව යම් හේකින් මුඹ වහන්සේ විසින් තෙල දන්නා ලදද එහෙයිනි.
So Upasiva is now asking what is going to happen to that person after passing away, is going to become eternal? Now that's the question. So because still he is having that personality view, or we can say the self view, so he can't believe that there is no self. He can't understand the non-self. So he's thinking there is still a ongoing self available. So after all this, what's going to happen to that self? Is it going to become eternal? So that's the question he is asking. Now Buddha answering, අත්තංගතස්ස න පමාන මත්ති යේන නං වජ්ජුං තං තස්ස නත්ති සබ්බේසු ධම්මේසු සමූහතේසු සමූහතා වාද පථාපි සබ්බේති. අත්තංගතස්ස න පමාන මත්ති යේන නං වජ්ජුං න තස්ස තං තස්ස නත්ති සබ්බේසු ධම්මේසු සමූහතේසු සමූහතා වාද පථාපි සබ්බේති.
There is no measure of one who has gone out. There is no means by which they might speak of him. When all phenomena have been uprooted, all pathways of speech are also uprooted.
Bhagyavatun vahanse mese vadalaseka upasive anupada parinirvanen pirinivyahata rupadi pramanek nata ragadi yam pramanekin ohata kiyatnam e pramane ohata nata. ස්කන්ධාදී සියලු ධර්මයන් නැසූ කල්හි හැම වාද පතයෝද නසන ලද වෙති.
Yeah, so basically Buddha mentioned, okay, it's no point of talking like using those mundane terms, because once one achieve that anupada parinibbana, where he passed away from this life, no more existing. Basically there is no self even before he passed away. So that's a wrong notion we all have. I mean, it's those simply the causes and conditions are there, those fuel is supplied, so as a result of that the burning has happened. But once you stop the fuel, the flame has gone. No point of telling it has gone to east direction. No point of telling it has gone to west direction. No point of telling it has gone to north direction. I mean, it's not a valid statement. So basically Buddha mentioned, so all that typical mundane measurements are no more valid for him. Simple as that. So that ends the sutta. So the actually similar question asked by Pottapada also. When Buddha explained that beautiful way, that everything, Pottapada is also asking the same self-related question. What's going to happen to that self? Is he going to become eternal? So that represent that many of those people, I mean, coming from this Brahmana tradition, so they are with very strong self-view. They are believing with the Atma. Even after Buddha explained with some deep Dhamma, they all want to know what happened to that person. They all want to know like that. So they are all difficult to understand there is no self. So it's a mind-made self or kind of a ignorance made self, what is available. But once the ignorance is abandoned, no self is created. So that it's difficult for them to understand. So they keep on asking, what's going to happen to that self? So that ends the Upasiva Sutta. So anyway, if you have any question, so please feel free to ask. So anyway, it's some deep stuff. Immediately, some high protein. First thing in the morning, some high protein, difficult to digest. Yeah, that's a question.
That's right, Bhante. Given that the person who come to a first dhyana or the first frame and also seventh frame, is it still possible to achieve the nothingness and from there?
Actually, no need to talk of nothingness then.
Yeah.
So while being there, he is now deciding not to desire anything. Apanita.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So basically, assume that one is in the second jhana.
Yeah.
While in the second jhana, he now thinking of not going to the third jhana. I don't want to achieve third jhana. I am not desiring third jhana. So I have no future desires. Basically, he is abandoning all the future desires. While being here, I have no desire for this even. Okay, I don't want to very much appreciate and, you know, attach to this, whatever the second jhana related, bliss is there. Very pleasant, very blissful, really fantastic kind of experience is there. I don't want to even attach to that. Let me completely detach from that. So then he may be able to touch the nirodha, touch the cessation, because he no more attaching to anything, so letting go of everything.
So... If a person who is not achieved that state in dhyana or practicing satipatthana, right?
Practicing satipatthana, even.
Yeah. can he see without seeing those dhyana and their benefits or their satisfaction coming through those dhyana, can he abandon any future states through just the satipatthana, not...
Yeah, definitely possible. That's what he asks. So, I mean, now actually the theme is basically based on the samatha.
Yeah.
So, how one is going step by step to different samatha states, and at a particular concluding point, he decides, okay, I'm not going to further continue. I'm even abandoning the existing one.
Yeah.
Okay, that is the samatha approach.
Yeah.
But in the vipassana approach, somewhat similar. Say you are practicing satipatthana. Say you are practicing, say, Vedanupassana, and you are observing different kinds of feelings, and say, pleasurable feelings, painful feelings, neutral feelings. Now, typically what happens is, assume that there's a pleasurable feeling. We immediately go and grasp it. So, we immediately want to keep it and hug it and, you know, so basically we become attached to it. If there is a painful feeling, I want to get rid of that. So, I have this attachment and repulsion. Always, but while practicing the Vedanupassana, you are trying to, you know, cope up with the whole thing without attaching, without having any repulsion. Say the whatever the positive or pleasurable feelings are there, you are carefully watching it. You don't want to attach to it, and you are observing painful feelings. You don't want to distract from it, get out of it. You simply patiently observing it. So likewise, you are developing certain skill, and ultimately you become completely detached to it. Assume now everything let go of, all the feelings arise, now ceased. Maybe pleasurable, maybe painful, everything ceased, and with that cessation, you come to that cessation immediately. Say it's arising, passing away, while you are observing the passing away, so you have touched the cessation, but no new perception, no new feeling, no new thought, you are in the cessation. In the cessation. So directly touching the cessation is possible to satipatthana.
So the next question then, would anyone who practicing the satipatthana could go through those dhyana state while watching them but not attaching to them, can go through those dhyana as well, dhyana state?
Maybe possible. Maybe possible, because he has achieved fair amount of detachment, kind of he know how to maintain kind of a letting go process. So even while in jhana, without attaching to a jhana, he can dwell there. So that's another interesting point highlighted in one sutta called Uddesa Vibhanga Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya. So there is a possibility that you attach to the jhana and stuck in it. That is also there. And there is a state, you are, you know, developing jhana, but you are not stuck in it. You are not stuck in it. That is also possible. It's not denied. It's also possible. But for that, you have to have a fair maturity. Because typically what happens is, when you are going through some very blissful, you know, pleasant state, naturally your mind get attached to it. You start appreciating it, you are exciting about it. But without having that, any kind of a thing, maintaining a very equanimous mind, even though you are in a jhanic state, in a way, very difficult balance. Maybe the one who is having the path fruition may be possible.
Yeah.
Not an easy task, by the way.
Yeah, okay. Or easily fall into a trap.
Because that is the point.
Yeah.
Because when one is practicing jhana, easily it can get registered in the mind.
Yeah.
Easily your mind gets shifted there and dwell there. You are locked there. It's very difficult to come out and simply watch it. Now, say for example, you are doing a walking meditation. It is, I am walking, this is right leg, this is left leg, I am walking. So that's a perception immediately we have. Now, how long will it take for me to look at like an outsider? Oh, the body is walking. It is like a robot. Body is walking. I am not there. I am simply outside and I am watching it. To get that balance, kind of a separation, say observing and the object, the body, as two things, something like as a separate things, it will take some time to get that balance. So it's very much like, okay, body is naturally walking, it's going through this, maintaining its natural pace, and it is not me walking, rather it's the body walking and I'm simply watching. So in order to get even that perception, it's difficult. It may take some time for you to have that proper balance. So similarly here also, when one achieves jhana, so you are stuck there. You immediately grasp it. You are, I am with that. Oh, what a blissful state. Ooh, something like that. And then you are slowly, get it go. Okay, you be there, I'll be here. Something like that. Maintaining that subtle balance.
So, would that the jhana, dhyana state be beneficial for a yogi at some stage when he finds some difficulties in his practice?
Can. Yeah. Yeah. Can, but I mean, thing is, mostly what happens is, by the way, the Vipassana yogi starts, this is my personal opinion, kind of a detachment towards jhana, because he doesn't want to condition the mind. Because he slowly, the Vipassana yogis attempt to keep the mind unconditioned. He doesn't want to color the mind. He doesn't want to condition the mind. Even though jhana is a blissful state, it's a kind of a conditioning is there, no? So in order to achieve the jhanic state, you have to somewhat prepare your mind, condition your mind. Okay, again and again you apply your mind to a particular object, associate that object again and again, then only mind become that. So once you become that, now you have another additional task to separate it and keep it with a distance, without hooked up in it, without stuck in it. Little task is there. So the Vipassana yogi is lethargic to do this.
Yeah.
Some additional work. Yeah. Additional work. Not necessary. Okay, let me keep on cutting off the defilements without achieving the jhana. So therefore there's a fair reluctance of achieving jhana. So I feel that is there.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, very interesting.
Thank you,
sorry.
A question about Nirodha. Would you say, you just spoke about the mind or awareness. That's how I understand it. And then on the other end, there's the object.
Uh-huh.
And then our task is to sort of separate,
mm-hmm.
in a way. Or could we also say the Nirodha is the cessation of attachment
mm-hmm.
between object and awareness?
Awareness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually Nirodha we can explain in many different ways. So one thing is the Nirodha, the cessation of the attachment, cessation of the tanha, tanhakkaya. So you had a kind of an attachment, kind of an entanglement. So because of the desire, now you are abandoning that desire. So once that slowly you abandon that desire, so this stucking has reduced and you automatically become separated because there is no bondage. There is no bondage because the desire has dropped. So the cessation, in one sense, you have the tanha nirodha, the cessation of the tanha, the craving. On the other thing, we can consider it as a vijnana nirodha, say while you are here, so there's a entanglement with the name and form. The consciousness is there, consciousness is well much established consciousness. So that also has to be abandoned. So once you abandon that, the consciousness become unmanifested, you know, apatittita, unestablished. So there is no place, no object for the consciousness to establish. So the vijnana nirodha. Another thing is, it can become objectless. So that if you consider the awareness, so that awareness doesn't have any particular object either, because it has completely abandoned all the things. Whatever the object, it's simply abandoning, letting go everything. So it doesn't want to keep anything, doesn't want to hold anything. So mind become completely empty. Nothing is there, no object even. So there also you can say also, as a result of that, so mind has stopped, no more going here and there. You know, if you have many objects, you may get attached to this. Next time you may attach to this, you may attach to this, you may attach to this. So constant jumping is there, constant, you know, going here and there is there, movements are there. But when there is nothing, complete stop. So your mind become utter still. So the stillness is another way we can call as a nirodha, where your mind stop. You might feel like, okay, my mind is not functioning, like, but it's not like you are fully aware. You are fully aware, you are fully awake, but you know nothing is there, by the way. Simple awareness is there, clarity is there, but no going here and there. No movements are there, there is no agitation. Simple, quiet, still awareness. Simple like that. So I feel, therefore, what you said is also correct. That is the abandonment of the attachment. And another way is abandonment of the established consciousness. Another way is abandoning all the thoughts, sankharas, the, you know, the creations and preparations, you are abandoning all that. So your mind become no sankhara. No, all the sankharas are calmed down. You know, all volitional activities are calmed down. You are cool. One become cool.
Thank you.
Very interesting area. Very, very interesting. Actually, the crux of the Dhamma.
Can I share a comment from...
Sure, please.
This is something I heard in Burma from teachers. They said the best students are the farmers, so people working in the fields, because their mind is so simple. They could, like you said, the mind is so full. It's full. So it's, if we're have a lot of stimulation intellectually, may be hard.
Definitely.
To get to this simplicity.
Exactly.
Whereas a farmer doesn't have that much
stimulation, so information, you
views,
know,
maybe
memories, maybe many events and corruptions. Nothing's there. Utter simple. Exactly. 100% agreed.
Thank you so much, Bhante.
Yeah. So basically, that's why, I mean, nowadays, the more we learn, more we fill our minds using many, many different subjects, and we are, you know, filling the minds. Millions of perceptions, millions of information. Our minds are fully corrupted. So at the beginning, what we have to do, a kind of unlearning, kind of a de-learning process. Drop everything, unload everything. So that mind become very simple. You know, have some clarity. And it become lighter, not burdened, not heavy. It has to become very lighter. Then only you may understand what Buddha is talking. You can't grasp the Buddha's teaching purely through the intellect. You know, having lot of knowledge and, you know, science and a lot of perceptions, lot of information. You can't touch the Buddha's real teaching. For you to really touch it, you have to abandon everything, keep the mind completely empty, very pure, very simple, utter simple. Then we probably touch what Buddha is talking. So as you said, in the good old days, our lives are very simple. Nowadays, you look at how people are reacting. Say, in the morning, you have to watch the TV, you have to watch the Facebook, you have to watch the emails, you have to watch the newspaper, again watch the TV, again advertisements. So ultimately, what happened to the mind? Completely corrupted. It's too much information. We are bombarding the mind with too much information. Ultimately, you become completely polluted mind. So how are we going to, unload it or purify it. A lot of loads are there. But in the old time, the people have very simple lifestyle. They didn't have any news. They didn't have any TV. They didn't have newspapers. And they simply work in the paddy fields. And simple work, not very complex. They don't want to think too much. Very simple work. And they came home, being with the children. And next day also go to the paddy field. Again came home, being with the children. Next day also go to the paddy field. Very simple lifestyle. And once the Buddha's teaching are taught to them, nothing much to clear. Already somewhat clear. I mean, some little garbage maybe is there. Maybe cow dung is there. So you remove that only. Then slowly, quickly become very clear. Nowadays, minds are fairly corrupted. Yeah. Okay, we have spent fair amount of time. So I'll invite...
Ansaray Bhante.
Kian, yes.
Yeah, Geshan is waiting to present one question, I think. Geshan, now you can talk.
Thank you very much, Thiruvan Saranai Bhante. I really enjoy the discussion. What Dhammavijaya Swaminwansa just said, just to add to that, I thought of recalling a sermon that I have heard many years ago, when Buddha basically preaches to a, I think it's the cow, sort of a person who take care of the cattle, and he sort of be able to attain or understand the philosophy of Buddhism or the Buddha's teaching right away, whereas so there was that I sort of recall so I thought I should add that for your discussion. I think that was something that you can elaborate later on. My question is for you, Bhante. It's about the nutriments, and on the nutriments there are four categories that it's sort of broken down. One is the kabalinka ahara, paso ahara, and then mano sanchetana and the vinyana. So those are the four that I have sort of jotted down. In that kabalinka ahara, I just wanted to find out, does that mean just something what you break and eat, or some type of a solid food?
Yes,
or
yes.
Is that any type of liquid also?
Yes, yes.
Considered for kabalinka
ahara. Yes, yes. All that gross food and drinks, whatever you are typically partaking, so that all comes under the kabalinkara ahara.
So this is a question that came after yesterday's discussion. I thought, this morning I was thinking about it as well. And when you make a determination, okay, my food consumption at this time is over, and does that mean that you cannot sort of even consume anything by next day 7 o'clock or the sun rises? Until such time, I don't sort of consume any type of food, because is that the notion with it?
Yeah, I mean, once you are in the 8 precepts, something like that, yes. So after the noon, so you can't take solid food. The solid food categories are there, like rice hoppers and this and that. So there are different kinds of solid food. Staple food you are not allowed to take.
So my question that comes to kabalinka ahara is only solid food, not the liquid form?
A liquid form, yes. Now that is actually coming under the precepts. So in the vikala bhojana sikkhapada, that precept, so some information is given. So what is allowed and what is not allowed. So there are allowable food also there. We are not telling it, considering them as food, but very much like medicines. Say for example, chatumadura. The, you know that with the mixing up of ghee, honey, what that butter and all that, we prepare the chatumadura. So that is allowed. And maybe butter allowed, sugar allowed, jaggery allowed, fruit juice allowed. So likewise, certain drinks, fruit juice like things, they are allowed. But not the staple foods, they are not allowed.
So with this, I'm trying to sort of digest this question well. And that's the reason why I'm asking. And so the kabalinkahara is a form of or fashion of a food that basically keep your body nutritious.
Mm, yeah.
Maybe it can be water or it can be any type of solid food.
Whatever,
or it can
yeah,
be a
I mean,
soup.
Mm, yeah, yeah, everything. Kabaling, when we are talking about kabalinkahara ahara, it's covering everything, whatever the food that the physical body is sustained.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. And then the when you observe the eight precepts and then I make a determination on this particular time, and my understanding was any type of kabalinkahara.
No.
That is not the case.
No.
Okay.
When it comes to the precept, so there are further information you need to refer. So among the kabalinkahara ahara, so there are certain categories you are allowed to take, certain categories not allowed to take. So likewise, some more details are there. You need to go to further description.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante, just for the clarity.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thiruvan Saranai.
Okay, then we'll wind up and I'll cordially invite Venerable Dhamma Vijitha to conduct the sharing of merits.
Thank you, Swaminansa, and we'll offer these merits to all passed away relatives and living relatives and all beings, and we'll recite the traditional Pali verses.